Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, just one verse this morning. And it says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, what in the world are we talking about? Satan's devices. You see, what are Satan's devices? Well, that's what we need to know, and that's why he says that he don't want us to be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. The scripture in the Old Testament that I get so much comfort out of reading talks about what God's thinking. You say, God thinks? Yeah, God has thoughts. And the scripture says that God has thoughts. You say, well, what does he think? He thinks about creating galaxies? Probably. Does he think about creating moons and stars? Probably. Does he think about gazillions of light years, miles away, things that he's doing and things over here all at the same time? Probably. But I'll tell you something else he thinks about that impresses me more than anything. And you know what that is? He thinks about me. Whoa! The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the great I Am, the creator of everything that ever existed and ever will exist, the living God of heaven thinks about old Eddie Kendall. The living God of heaven thinks about every individual in this room. And you know what he thinks? Everything he thinks about you is good. God is not sitting around like an old troll of a man with a long white beard and a hateful look, pounding with lightning bolts and thunderclaps and trying to get people and say, "Oh, you dirty sinner, I'm just going to send you right to the pits of hell." Well, that might be some preacher's idea, but that's not God's idea. God's idea is that every soul possible can be saved. It's his will that not any would perish, but all would come to repentance. Isn't that wonderful? So God thinks good thoughts about us. You say, wow, if God's for us, then who could be against us? Yeah, that's what the book says, isn't it? But I have to tell you something. There's another fellow, Lucifer, the devil, and he's also thinking. And you know what he's doing? He's creating devices. Yeah, you know what a device is. It's something you think about to get a job done with, and you sit around and fiddle with it till you invent something to happen. And how many of you believes the devil invents one about every 5 seconds? Just about every 5 seconds, the devil imagines what he can do to get to you. Now, if you think the devil is going to play fair, boy, you don't know about the same devil that I read about in the Bible. There's nothing fair about Satan. He'll kick you when you're down. He'll pile your back up with all he can get on it when you're already piled up to where you don't know which way to turn. He'll hit you when you're sick and afflicted and down. He'll hit you when you're old and feeble and can't go very fast to run anymore. He will not play fair with you. Satan's whole object is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's whole object is to keep you from making it into the city. Now, I can tell you, he can't stop you. He can't drag you out of God's hand. He can't take you away from God's care. But I can tell you what he can do. He can make life hell while you're here. He can create havoc in your life. He can create things, and he'll move. And I'm sorry to say, some of Satan's devices may be to get your children to do something, or your grandchildren. Some of Satan's devices may be to get somebody that's your brother or sister in Christ on their trial to say something hateful or mean to you. All of those things add up. All of those things Satan does. And Satan does that, there's two things he accomplishes. Number one, even though he can't take you away from God, he can get you discouraged. He can make you feel discouraged. He can make you feel... And let me tell you, and I've had some experience with this in the last year, 2 or 3 years. When you're feeling so bad, and you're feeling down, your physical body feeling down, he don't mind a bit to come up and stab you in the back. He don't mind a bit, Satan don't, to come up and do something to you to get you down. Now, I know greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But I can tell you, Satan is sitting about inventing devices. And his devices are to take your soul down to hell. His devices are to get you to give up and let go. His devices are engineered in such a way that it will overwhelm you, that you can't see the way out. You can't see the way to go. You can't see what's in front of you, and you don't know which way to turn. Satan's devices are there for that. Now, let me tell you what else they're there for. They're there to discredit the church of God. Satan invented these devices. Do you know that Satan would rather cause one church fight among God's people than he would to cause 25 fights in a beer joint? Satan don't get near the pop out of creating trouble in a beer joint as he does out of getting among Christian people. When David had committed the awful sin, you say the awful sin of adultery? Well, adultery is an awful sin, but it was compounded. David didn't just commit adultery, he lied about it. He hypocrited about it. He went on like nothing was wrong about it. And he wound up murdering Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's wife. Man, he's committed adultery, he has lied, he has hypocrited, and he has murdered. Now that's just about as horrible as it can get. And you know what? One day this little old prophet named Nathan showed up. And I say he's a little old prophet. He might have been 300 pounds. I don't know what Nathan looked like. But Nathan was a man of God. And God gave him a message for the king. And he went and stood before King David. And he told a story. And David's righteous anger welled up and said, if you just let me know who that man is, I'll get him and I'll make him pay. And he said, you're the man. You're the man, David. Oh, that we need men of God who could walk in Washington and Richmond and every place in this world and point their finger and say, thus saith the Lord God. Well, Nathan did that. He said, thus says the Lord. And he gave him the message. And then you know what he said? He said, because of what you've done, because of what you've done, the enemy has been given occasion to blaspheme the God of heaven. If you don't think that'll work, let me tell you it will. When you, as a Christian, fail God, there's going to be just plenty of people go, aha, aha, I told you. I knew it wouldn't last. Aha, aha. There's just going to be plenty of them. And you know what they're going to do? No matter how good you've been, no matter how good this whole congregation has been, all of you just perfect, just white as snow, blood washed away all your sins and everything's just wonderful. You let me go fail. Let me go do something bad, embezzle or commit adultery or something. I guarantee you this church will suffer the consequences. People will say, yeah, that's, I know about them people. I know about that. And they'll put us down. We give when Satan's devices overcomes us and causes us to sin, then, my friend, we give an occasion to the devil to blaspheme the God of heaven. So when we look at this scripture today, he doesn't want us to let Satan have the advantage. Because if Satan's devices work on our lives, then, my friends, we wound up with Satan having the advantage. You remember that scripture we just read? The advantage belongs to Satan because he's got ammunition. And it's sorry thing to say, but so often, my friends, Christian people give the devil the ammunition to throw at him. When I sin, it gives Satan something to throw at me. It gives Satan something to get me down. So we have to look. Now, he says, we're not ignorant concerning Satan's devices. And you say, well, what are his devices? Well, let's look and see what he's talking about there. Let's see what just in that scripture what he's talking about. By the way, the scripture is in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and there's probably another Corinthian letter that we don't have. You say, how do you know? Because Paul refers to it. And when he refers to it, we don't have it. That don't mean it wasn't there. He wrote three letters to the Corinthian church because they had problems. Do tell. Christian people have problems. Christian people have problems with one another. Christian people have problems getting along in life and taking care of things in life. Yes, my friends, I'm afraid they do. And you know what was going on among the Corinthians? I went back and skimmed through both 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and which also refers to the other book, which would probably be 1st Corinthians. 1st Corinthians would be 2nd Corinthians, and 3rd Corinthians would be the end. So when we look back at it, and we recognize, skimming through there, what are the devices that Satan used? Well, one he's talking about here is this, is that the brothers and the sisters in the Corinthian church. God knows these people had a lot of problems. I know the Bible said they came behind in no spiritual gift. These people spoke in tongues more than any church. These people had going on in church more than nearly anybody. But at the same time, these people had problems that would weight them down. These people had problems that, with just cause, would cause the heathen people around them to make fun of them and to look down on them and to desecrate them in the eyes of the world. What was the thing specifically in this verse he was talking about? Brothers and sisters who know Christ, not forgiving one another. Go read it. You need to read the Corinthian letters and think about it. These were brothers and sisters who had aught against each other. It is inevitable with a group of human beings living together. I don't care how sanctified we are. I don't care how holy we are. I don't care how good we're living. Ultimately, there will come times that we step on each other's territory. There will come times that we inadvertently will step on somebody's toes. We will say things that hurt somebody. And do you know, so very often, we are so unforgiving. And he goes on to say, one of the devices that Satan has is to get contention. And he reads that, he said, somebody, Paul was away from the Corinthian church. Can you believe this? Something happened in the church and somebody went running right straight to tell him. And he told them when he wrote to them whose household it was, who they were, and said, they say, and said, I guess I partly believe it. So what had happened? Something had happened in the church and something was going on in the church and people were not forgiving each other. People were going to church and worshiping and holding things against each other. You know what he said? That's a device of Satan. Because the Holy Spirit of God cannot have his right of way in here. The Holy Spirit of God cannot have a racket going on here and move at the same time. Let me tell you something, my friend. You need not expect a moving of the Holy Spirit if you've been on the outs with a brother or sister and you think you're too good to forgive them. He says we need to forgive one another. We need to be there and forgive our brothers and our sisters, and we need to learn to wait on our brothers and sisters. That was one of the divisions that was in the Corinthian church, was the fact that people were unforgiving one to another. You say, what were the other things? Preacheritis. You say, everybody wanting to be a preacher? No. Everybody being divided over which was the preacher. Everybody being divided. Some people said, I'm following the Apostle Paul. Somebody else said, well, I guess Paul's all right, but I belong to Apollos' part of the church. And somebody else had another preacher, and somebody else had another preacher. So you wind up with the church with all of its, oh, those are called denominations, aren't they? Those are called denominations. Those are the things that happen, you see. And people come together and everybody's saying, I like this person, I like that person, I like that person. And never considering the kingdom of God. Never considering what does God want. We have Americanized the church so much that we think we're in charge of it just by birthright. But my friend, we're not. God, it's God's church. Jesus Christ died for it. And it's what God wants us to do. So one of the things that we have to avoid that Satan uses as a device, do you think Satan would engineer hard feelings between a brother and sister if he could do it? He sure would. Do you think that Satan would sit around and think up a way to get me to say something hateful that would hurt somebody else? He would engineer it so that when I'm at my very lowest and weakest and having the hardest time and my back's loaded already, that somebody would say something to me and I'd say something right back. And then the onus is on that person to forgive me. Huh. And on me to forgive them. Amen. Now, we have to learn to forgive one another. And we need not have contentions. That's what he says. Not have contentions among you and not have preacheritis. And then there's the matter of doctrine. There's a matter of doctrine. Because some people were saying one thing in Corinth and other people were saying another thing. So within the same fellowship of people, there are people sitting there who don't believe exactly alike. And some of them don't believe it like at all. Fact is, there were people that had wormed their way into the church of God in the first century who had all kinds of weird doctrines. And none of it came from this. So that's why we have to write things like bylaws. And that's why our bylaws say, if it's a matter of doctrine, this is the standard we go by. In fact, it actually specifically says the King James Version. You say you don't believe in any other? No, that's not it. It's one day I was going through the church, the old church down here, and I found a little Bible laying on the front seat from Sunday school. It was a pretty little Bible. Had a picture that wrapped all the way around the cover. Had a picture of Jesus, or depiction of Jesus, sitting on a stump under a tree. And little children were sitting on his lap and all around him. And I looked at that Bible and I said, bless some child's little heart. Let me look in it and see what's inside of it to see whose little Bible this is so I can get it back to him. And church was over. Everybody was gone but me. And I was walking down the hall and I picked up the Bible and I sat down and went to read it. It wasn't this one. You say, but it's a pretty little Bible. No. It was the Jehovah's Witness Bible. They have changed whole verses, whole sentences that are not like it in there. And that kind of thing, my friend, can disturb the church of God. That kind of thing can upset the church of God. My friend, when you get up and read from that, you're not going to read verses that are even in here, even close to being in here. So brothers and sisters, when Satan wants to engineer a device to divide God's people, if he can get you to be unforgiving, if he can get you to be contentious, if he can get you to have preacheritis, or he can get you to have a doctrinal dispute, my friend, he's starting something that he knows will create havoc in the house of God. And then there was a problem in Corinth. They had immorality. They had immorality going on right in the church. Right in the elders and singers and all the people that were in the church, they had people committing immoral and ungodly acts in the church. You say, well, how's that? Well, he reminded them that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That God has come to live in your body. God has come to be in your body. So you have to keep your temple suitable for the Holy Ghost to live in. Let me tell you something, my friend. The Holy Ghost won't live in a hog pen. You might want to live in a hog pen and waller in the mud, but the Holy Ghost won't. Holy Ghost won't live that way. That's you living that way, but not him. Let me tell you something. They had immorality like we've never had to deal with this. Praise God. One of the brothers in the church had his father's wife for his companion to be with, to live with as his wife. So here we have a son-in-law living with his stepmother, at the very best, at the very worst, his mother. And brothers and sisters, that's a horrible thing. And yet, can you imagine somebody that's living with their father's wife coming into the church? Oh no, I can imagine that. Can you imagine them singing in the choir? Can you imagine them playing music? Can you imagine them teaching Sunday school? Can you imagine them getting up and praising God and exhorting the congregation? Well, my friend, I hope you can't imagine that, because it's too bad to even think about. But the truth is, my friend, it was happening in the church at Corinth, a church that was on fire in many ways, a church that had many pluses and many good things to say about it. Those people, my friend, we're tearing down the church. What would I say? What would you say? What would anybody say if I come along and say, well, this is, I ran into a church up in Akron, Ohio, called the Church of What's Happening Now. I guess that's as good as any man-made title. That's what he called it, the Church of What's Happening Now. And you say, what do you mean? I want to tell you that I would not want to belong to a church that was known, because you know pretty. Did you ever notice that religious people can gossip? Oh, you hadn't noticed that, had you? It's not possible for religious people to spread a word. You say, well, I never lied on nobody. Sometimes, my friend, it can be a sin to tell the truth. You don't have to tell everything you know. You don't have to talk about everything you know. You don't have to pass an opinion on everything that you know. Brothers and sisters, when we can't stand before God, I could tell the truth in such a way that it will destroy people. I don't need to tell something that's wrong or something that's bad or going on, but I can tell you, my friend, if there was somebody in a church in Giles County that came to church this morning and went to the pulpit and had his father's wife, somebody would probably be saying, Brother Eddie, did you know? Oh, he said, no, that wouldn't happen in Giles County. That couldn't possibly happen in Giles County. It could possibly happen in Giles County. It probably has and will happen in Giles County. Oh, it does happen all the time. You know it does. People need to keep their yap shut. Granny Effie said it takes more salvation keep your trap shut than it does to gossip. And she's right. And then there are those in the church that were puffed up. I thought about that. Vernon, I thought about Aunt B talking about Uncle Walter. Every once in a while, Uncle Walter would get huffy. And Aunt B said, oh, he's just like sourdough bread. Said, you knead him up and put him out, and he'll swell up. And so then you punch him down, and he goes down. Well, you understand that metaphor. Paul said to the Corinthians that there were people in that church that were puffed up. Man, you can just see it on people sometimes, can't you? Let me tell you something. That's a device Satan will use to divide the church of God. And then, my friend, he said, keep the money clean. Be sure that the money of the church is taken care of in such a way that it doesn't leave any doubt, that it doesn't leave any room for something bad to happen. It's sad, my friend, for Christian people to divide over money. My friend, I can tell you, if the church people pay their tithes and trust God with their offerings like they should, and if those offerings are well cared for, because people cannot endure it if they're putting their money in the church and it's being slung out to just everything in the world. And then he teaches us to keep a separated life. And I'm going to tell you what he says. He says, you cannot. Let's say that word. Cannot. You know what that means, don't you? Cannot. Sure you do. You cannot do what? Drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. Whoa-ho. Separated from the world. That was a message that was burning fire among the holiness people. But now the neo-Pentecostals, we think, well, whoopee, glory, glory. And the other don't matter so much. Well, it's not true, my friend. We need to whoopee, glory, glory, all we can for Jesus. But let me tell you, my friend, old people used to say this, it's okay to shout. But when you hit the ground, walk straight. And this is what he's saying. You cannot. That was in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he was talking about the Lord's Supper. He was talking about receiving the communion and how you cannot drink from the Lord's cup and the devil's cup at the same time. James, the apostle, put it this way. One fountain will not at the same time bring forth good water and bad water all at the same time. Wow. And then he goes on to say that we all need to see each other equal. We all need to receive each other equally. It is not right that I should receive this brother because he is a big buckety muck somewhere in the world and reject this brother because he's a ditch digger. That's not right. It's not right for me to go to the Lord's table and receive some of God's people but reject the other of God's people. All of God's people are to be respected and loved and received as equal. My brothers and sisters, it's a terrible thing for have to say to a church. I never had that problem with any church I've been associated with, but the Corinthian church had that problem. You say, well, I thought that was bad enough when he had that fellow that had his father's wife. It sure was, and you knew what else he said? Don't go church to church to get drunk. You say, good grief, nobody would say that. Read it. 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. How is it that you come to church and some of you have a lot and some of you don't have anything and you don't share with one another? And by the way, and you that have a lot, why are you bringing your wine with you and drinking and getting drunk? If you're going to get drunk at home, but don't get drunk at church. Wow. I think that might cause something bad in the church. People came to church to get drunk. You say, surely they didn't. Surely they did. Surely they did in the church at Corinth. You go back and read it. And then he says, don't let there be any confusion in the church, but let the gifts of the Spirit operate within the church. If you feel God's Spirit moving you, my friend, let the Lord have His way. If you feel God's Spirit moving on you, you submit yourself to God's Spirit and let Him minister to the people through you. Very often, my friends, you would not have to say anything. If the Spirit of God comes down, other people can feel it. It's not just the person that the Holy Spirit's operating in, but it's the other people. We all, you get blessed, you get touched by God's Spirit, we feel the effects of it. And God blesses us. Amen? So here we are. God, bless His name. God is what? God is blessed to think about me. I can't imagine it. the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the all-powerful one, knows everything there is to know, has got all the power that there is to have, is every place present at the same time. That God thinks about you, Jenny. God thinks about you, and his thoughts are good for you. That God thinks about you, Nolan, and those thoughts are good to you. Teresa, that God thinks about you. He don't care if you're in Bluefield, Princeton, or Peterstown. He thinks about you. In fact, when I'm traveling between places, I hope he thinks a whole lot about me while I'm driving. Amen? Amen. God thinks about you. Now, at the same time that God is thinking about you, somebody is creating a device so that you can't enjoy it, so that you can't be at peace with it. He can't take you away from God. He can't pluck you out of his hand. But my friend, he can make your time here on this earth a hard time to go. So my friend, let's work that we do not use Satan's devices. We do not fail to forgive one another, love one another, care for one another, and be careful that we do not hurt or in any way harm a brother or sister. Amen? Say it again. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to share the precious word of God. Lord, I'm not glad that the Corinthian people had such problems in their church. But I am glad, Lord, that you included it in the Bible so that we could see it. And Lord, I pray that you'll teach us to be loving and kind, forgiving and forbearing. Father, I pray that you'll teach us to walk in your light and in your counsel, to do what you'd have us to do. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus that your Spirit will come and your blessings will touch and your anointing will be upon your people. Lord, we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.